Good morning, all. The Bible reading today comes from 1 John chapter 3, verses 11 to 18. It's found on page 987 in the Pew Bibles. 1 John 3, 11 to 17. More on love and hatred. For this is the message you heard from the beginning. We should love one another. Do not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own actions were evil and his brother's were righteous. Do not be surprised, my brothers and sisters. If the world hates you, we know that we have passed from death to life because we love each other. Anyone who does not love remains in death. Anyone who hates his brother or sister is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life residing in him. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother or sister in need, but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. This is the word of God.
G'day everyone. If you don't know me, my name's David. I'm one of the pastors here. My role is in pastoral care and seniors ministry. And one area that I am also responsible, I'm just going to take 30 seconds to plug something. I'm responsible for facilitating morning teas after church services. And on the fourth Sunday, we have a desperate need for people. A couple of people are doing it, are going away. That will mean only mean one person on. So if you're able to help on the fourth Sunday of every month, please come and see me afterwards. And just line up here because I know there'll be lots of people. Thank you. Let me pray as we come to God's word. Our Father, this is your word. We thank you that you have spoken and the word is recorded for us. We thank you for the gift of the Lord Jesus, who is the living word of God. And we thank you through your scriptures and through your spirit, you continue to speak to us. Please both encourage and challenge and motivate and convict us, we pray. Amen. Gabriel Marshall was a young seven-year-old boy. He was diagnosed with a serious and rare brain form of cancer, and it required him going through several surgeries to remove the cancer. But that left Gabriel with a significant wound on the side of his head. And as a young seven-year-old, he felt like he was a monster as everyone looked at him, staring. He was very self-conscious. And his father, like many fathers, felt deeply for his son's pain at what he looked like and what others may think of him. So his father decided that he would get a tattoo. A tattoo that mirrored his son's scar on his head. His dad said, "If people want to stare at you, they can stare at both of us." And Gabriel said it made him feel like he and his father were twins. Like father, like son. They share a family likeness because of the love of Gabriel's father. Last week, as we've been going through a series on 1 John, Ange mentioned that those who trust in Jesus' death for them like we've heard Candace talk about, for those people, they share the family likeness. Being part of God's family means that followers of Jesus have been changed inwardly. So it's not surprising that six times through that this small letter that we call the first letter of John, six times we read the word born. Christians, not because of their goodness, but because of who Jesus is, have been changed inwardly. So John, who also wrote the Gospel of John, has the phrase born again. Christians are born again, they've been given a new nature. When someone is born physically, they inherit traits from their parents, things like skin tone, eye colour, blood type. But they also, or we also, inherit human nature. Human nature that seeks to serve our self-bests. I've always loved food, and especially cakes and desserts. And as a child, I would raid the fridge at night time or sometimes through the night, devouring anything that looked appetising. One time when I was very young, I went to the fridge and I saw green jelly. It looked so attractive. There was nothing else that took my fancy, so I took a scoop. And at that point, I realised I couldn't, like cream, just shove it over and it looked as though it hadn't been eaten. There was a big scoop out of the jelly. My mum, when she saw it was probably for guests, but when she saw it and she saw green around my lips, she asked whether I had eaten the jelly. And in self-preservation, I said, no. What's that around your lips? And in the kitchen, we had a stool that was always there. It's an old stool, but had green vinyl. So I said, I've licked the stool. No one taught me to lie. My parents did not give me an instruction. When you're in trouble, this is what you do to save yourself. You bend the truth. My human nature, my self-nature, produced self-interest, self-centeredness, self-absorption, self-protection, self-seeking. And yet when someone is born again, they are given a new nature that looks at life through a God-centered lens. John was writing to a church that was affected by false teaching. He wanted people to be reassured and to know that because of their trust in Jesus, they have been born again, and now God's nature lived in them. And as God's nature is to love his people, so his people are to love. They are to be like father, like daughter, or like son. We read in verse 11, for this is the message you have heard from the beginning, we should love one another. John makes his point by contrasting two people with two different natures. And let me say, everyone in the world falls into these two categories. He says in verse 12, it's a warning. Do not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own actions were evil and his brother's were righteous. We can read about Cain right near the beginning of the Bible in Genesis chapter 4. Cain and his brother Abel were Adam and Eve's children. Both offered sacrifices to God, but we read that Cain's was not acceptable. We're not told why. Though it seems it wasn't genuine. And we read in chapter 4 that God warned Cain that sin was lurking, almost ready to spring up at any opportunity and consume and control if allowed. And yet, despite the warning, Cain murdered his brother. Hate. Hate is the seed that leads to murder. That desire to remove one person out of life. That sense, it would be far better if you weren't in my life at all. But the same seed that produces hate also produces jealousy and envy and greed. Cain preferred the bitter blackness of hate to love that brings light. A neighbour that we used to had a large outdoor area. And at night, if the lights went on, suddenly, masses of cockroaches would run everywhere. Cockroaches are generally nocturnal. They prefer being in the dark. And when exposed to the light, they run. They run away from the light into the darkness. Love exposes hate for what it is. But instead of coming to the light, often people prefer the darkness. And so John says in verse 13, "Do not be surprised, my brothers and sisters, if the world hates you. Anyone who does not love remains in death." It was on a Friday morning. I remember that because we were having a church camp. This is probably 17 years ago. I got a phone call in the morning, and the man who was part of the church where I used to be, he and his wife had just received news that their son had been murdered by his flatmate in Port Macquarie. They were going to go up shortly, but they'd heard the news and they'd heard what happened, but they could not comprehend. And they rang me and I went round there and just sat with them. Their son had opened up his home to this man who was part of the church but was homeless. He needed accommodation. And I guess there were some mental health issues involved. But over time, it seems this man came to distrust the person who helped him. And within him, bitterness grew up and hatred until in a frenzy, he stabbed him to death one night. It was shocking. Now, the reality is that we may not murder, but indeed, Jesus, as he preached his sermon called the Sermon on the Mount, said that when we hate somebody, when we're angry at somebody, we are indeed murdering them because we don't want them in their life. We don't want them in our life. We have the same seed that leads to murder in us. Now, I just want to clarify. I think John is not saying, let me step back and say, when I drive in the car, I hate people who drive down the inside lane to get in front of me. I dislike that. I don't think John is talking about that because I don't know those people. I don't like what they're doing. I don't have enough courage to do it myself, so I don't like what they're doing. Maybe I would do the same thing. But I think when John talks about hate, it's an ongoing thing. I'm in a relationship with somebody. I know somebody and I don't want them in my life anymore. On the other hand, John says in verse 14, we know that we've passed from death to life because we love each other. Rather than self-interest, which prompted Cain to take life, Jesus self-sacrificed his life to give eternal life to others. It's interesting. John says the evidence that someone has eternal life will be seen in how they love. The evidence that somebody has eternal life will be seen in how they love. When John uses the word love, he's not using it in the way that we may use it often today. I love ice cream. I love chocolate. I love going to the mountains. We use the word love in terms of what we enjoy or what we value or what we find attractive. But John uses the word in a different way. It was a word that was actually very rare at the time. It was rare until Christians adopted it and applied it to Jesus, who gave his life willingly for those who rejected and hated him. This love is an act of the will that gives to what isn't enjoyable. It gives to what isn't attractive. It is love that chooses to give sacrificially for another to benefit. And it gives at the cost of the person who gives. It does not choose to give to those who are deserving or worthy, but is given to anyone in need. We see this love in action in the parable of the Good Samaritan. I'm sure most of you remember the name, the Abdallah family. In 2020, lost three of their children, plus a niece, when struck by a car driven by a man who was under the influence of drugs and alcohol. To love a man who stole their children from them is not based on feelings or because of some worthiness in that man. To love a man like that is a choice not to hate, but to forgive and to give. And that's the way that the Abdallahs have loved. Danny Abdallah said, it has helped protect his heart from bitterness and hate. And he also said, it has saved our children from them seeing bitterness in us being passed on to them and them living hateful lives. The evidence that we have eternal life is that we love as God does, because God's nature is in us. I wonder how you respond. How do you respond when you see someone in need? Do you give? Do you care? Do you share resources? Do you do that even though there's a cost to you? Do I give to others unselectively? Or do I only give to those who I think are deserving of what I can give? To be like Father, like Son, will love like Jesus. Not with self-interest, but with self-sacrifice. Those who belong to Jesus will love like Jesus because they know God's love for them. In the next chapter, chapter 4, in verses 9 and 10, we read, this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we love God, but he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. I've been like Cain. I've wished at times people, it would be much easier for my life if they weren't in my life. I've been like Cain, I've dismissed people. I deserve God's wrath. But instead, God poured his wrath onto Jesus for Jesus to take that wrath and God's anger at sin and instead to forgive and give eternal life to Candace, to me, to all who entrust themselves to him and what he has done for them. A few weeks ago, Matt, in preaching one of these passages in the book of 1 John, spoke about the words atoning sacrifice. There's a technical term called propitiation. It means reconciling a relationship through the means of a substitute, someone taking the wrath or the judgment or the punishment in another person's place. Jesus is our atoning sacrifice. In my soccer days, one person in our team always had the great ability and capacity to get in trouble with the referees. He would regularly be given yellow or red cards. He didn't come to church, but I tried to talk to him about Jesus. And the next time he got a red card, it was actually after the game had finished, but he wanted to keep on going and telling the referee what he thought of his... He can give a red card after the game's finished. So I wrote to the judiciary, and I offered to serve the suspension for him on behalf of the guilty player so he could keep playing and I would take the next 6 weeks off. I sought to be a substitute who took the punishment for him. In that sense, I sought to be an atoning sacrifice, somebody who stood there and received what he should have. They said no. God showed his love for us through the gift of his Son, whose death transfers us from living like Cain, which we all do because we've all inherited human nature. We all want to live for self. But God showed his love for us through the gift of his Son, who transfers us from belonging to the evil one and transferred us to Christ, where we are born again with a new nature and we can love other believers like Jesus. We are transferred not because we are good, not because we are worthy, not because we are deserving, not because we're valuable, not because we're enjoyable. We are transferred because of who Jesus is. And so we read in verse 16 of chapter 3, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. To love like this was costly for the Father. It cost him his only, his unique, his eternal, his immortal Son. He loved you so much that he gave the one who had been with him for all time, from all time. And it was costly for Jesus, who willingly condescended to become human and die a criminal's death. If you've heard of the Narnia Chronicles, they were written by someone called C.S. Lewis. He became a Christian later in life, a brilliant man. But once he talked about trying to grasp what it is like for Jesus, immortal, always with the Father, to become a human being. And he said, try and grasp and think of yourself becoming a slug. And a slug who would die for other slugs. He would die for other slugs who didn't care about you at all. That's what it was like for the Father to give Jesus. To become like what he was nothing like. Indeed, the Apostle Paul said, he became sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God. This is God's love for you. And his life in you enables you to love because we are loved. See, the reality is we, as I said at the start, we either belong to Cain's team or Jesus' team. And the evidence will be seen in how we love, because that will reflect what we really think of Jesus. I want to try and just very briefly say one thing that means, that John tells us that means. In verse 17 to 18, we read the verses, if anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us love not with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. As we look out in the world, there are needs everywhere. Just to look at the news one night can be overwhelming. But John helps us, for in verse 16, he spoke in the plural form, our brothers and sisters. But then in verse 17, he moves to a singular form, a brother or sister in need. While there are innumerable needs, there are needs that we will actually see and be aware of because of God's nature in us. John Stott, who used to write to help people understand the Bible, said this about these verses. You must see a sister or brother's need, not merely a passing glance, but see long enough to appreciate and understand the circumstances. And you must be able to meet or contribute to their need. If we were to take these verses seriously, I think you would agree there are uncomfortable verses. But we always come back to how Christ loved us. He loved us that we were undeserving, and he loved us with great cost. Love is the willingness to surrender that which has value for my life to enrich the life of another. I'm encouraged as I hear about what people do within this church congregation, spontaneously taking meals to people who are not well, giving money to those where they hear a need is, giving items of furniture or electrical goods, sharing what they have. But it's not only in giving financially or materially. We have a friend who about 9 years ago was diagnosed with something called Guillain-Barré syndrome. Over one night, he lost all movement. He couldn't even breathe. He was on a respirator for a year in Nepean Hospital, in hospital for 18 months. And a lady who we didn't know very well made a commitment to write to him every week. She would write a letter to him, send it to his wife, and his wife would take it and read it to him. She had no idea how long that was going to go for, but every week she would write. And she wrote until he left hospital. If I was her, I would have been very tempted to give up at one point. Well, that's a lie. I would have been tempted to give up at many points. But even at cost to herself, she continued and disciplined herself to write letters, not just about the news, but letters that were meaningful for her and for him. The Lord Jesus gave his life for us, but John talks about singular. The Lord Jesus gave his life for you. We're either of the evil one, we follow after Cain because of our human nature, or those with human nature who have been given God's Spirit, not because of what they've done, but because of who Jesus is, are rescued and safe for all eternity. Let me pray. Our Father, we do confess that we do not love often like the Lord Jesus, love that gives despite the cost. And yet we thank you for the work of the Lord Jesus in people who trust in him, that create the desire to want to please you and to follow after you, and the willingness to love as you do, as we can. Thank you so much. Would you please encourage us, convict us, rebuke us where we need it, and strengthen us through your word this morning. Amen.